Hey everyone, this is Rachel Mooney.
This is Cindy.
This is Maggie.
And this is Andrea. And you're listening to Real Her Talk, houses, heels, and real estate deals.
All right, so who's here that's guests? Jennifer, Tony?
Yes.
So what do you do, Tony?
I am a mortgage loan officer.
How long have you been in the business?
Since 2010.
You like it?
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm with North Point Mortgage.
Yep. She's filling in for Cindy today. Jennifer?
I am a realtor here in South Forsyth. I've lived in South Forsyth since 98, and I've been in the business for 19 years.
So, and Rachel and I are here.
Yep.
They've already heard our story.
Yes. Yeah. They're not.
They're not missing anything.
Not yet, no. Y'all have to go back and listen to some that haven't been released yet.
Okay.
Because we're about to release, this will be part of season two, like what we're filming right now. And so the beginning of season two has some really funny episodes in it.
Awesome.
Yes.
We've had fun.
We've had a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're giggling in our heads thinking about some of the stuff we were talking about. Anyways,
the thing is, everybody comes up, it might be more than real estate.
It is. That's the whole thing. Is everybody's like, what's the agenda? What's the script? I'm like, no, there's no script. We talk. Like, it's really just sitting around talking. We start about like industry stuff, what we're dealing with as business owners, business leaders, all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like, your whole life, once you're a business owner, you're responsible for everything yourself. It all plays into it.
Very true.
Yeah, so I'll give you a perfect example. This is hilarious. As Rachel comes in and sits down and goes, I bought a new car. And I was like, what? You bought a new car? What do you mean you bought a new car? And so she proceeds to explain exactly why and the decision-making behind her buying a new car. I was like, well, that was pretty dang smart. So I went and bought a new car with her and bought the same car because it was a good deal.
And now we both should have waited till y'all bought a car. We could all three bought one.
Right.
Mine was
a need.
Yes, not a want. Well, no, I mean.
My son wrecked his car.
Yeah.
And everything got passed down.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm getting a new one.
Absolutely.
Well, wait, have you gotten it yet?
I had to get it back in 23.
Oh, shoot.
I was going to say, it was
so like that sucker.
Yeah. How much is your payment?
Yeah.
Don't even ask.
No, seriously.
$700.
Okay. Yeah. And then do you have gas?
Yes.
And
oil change?
Yes.
Okay, so it's costing you well over $700 a month to have it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Ask us how much our payment is.
How much?
$600.
$540.
And you plug it in.
You plug it in. No maintenance.
$22 a month.
Electric or just electric?
Just electric.
Well, what is it?
Tesla.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I know. I kept looking for you. I'm like, why is Andrea never here? Like, all of a sudden.
Yeah.
She got a different car.
I got a different car.
Yeah.
It's Tesla performance model. And it's like 1% APR. Mm-hmm. And then with a discount. So anyways, I mean, because she was paying out the yang for her Mercedes. I was paying out the yang for my Porsche. My insurance went down. Car payment.
My debt down.
Yeah. What was your car payment?
It was over $900.
Mine was $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah. So we're like literally it's an $800 a month savings for me. That's with gas and maintenance and car payment.
Yeah, mine's a little,
it's like a no-brainer. And it's fun to drive. It's so fun. It's probably my favorite car ever. It's been so
wow. Good. All right.
Yeah. So you need to look. We will send you, too, a code. You get another $1,000 off if you use our code.
Because they don't negotiate.
There's no negotiating.
You buy it through an app, through the Tesla app.
Okay.
And then you go pick it up. There's no sales guys. There's no
paperwork. Nothing. It's the weirdest. It's like everything that you know about a car shopping experience. It's completely
and opposite. I don't like car shopping.
Yeah, it takes all the alcohol stuff back.
All of it.
All of
it's so easy. It's like buying a computer or a shirt. Like
yes,
that's
like going to the Apple store. That's what it reminds me of. You know how they're not on commission at the Apple store?
Right, right.
So they are like, oh yeah, well, so you know, do you guys work for you?
It's a yes or no.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's how it is at Tesla. It was wild.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I took it to Florida. So I was the first one to do
that
trip. How was that? That's what's kept me.
Mm-hmm.
That's what everybody asked. So we bought the performance model where you can do the longer distance ones, but I going fast and more partly.
Yeah. So it does drop down here.
And how much are your tickets?
Man, I have never had a speeding ticket in my entire life. Never even pulled over.
Manny.
I mean, she gets lucky. I don't know.
I don't know.
It's strategic.
What?
As a matter of fact, tell them how strategic it is, because I actually started doing what you told me about.
How did you?
Yeah, you know how you like.
Yeah, you got to have a bird dog.
Yeah. So I now look for that. And I'm like, okay, well, they're going to get in trouble first.
Correct.
What do you think? And then if I don't have a bird dog, then I just like.
They think you spun out. That's exactly right.
Oh, somebody going faster than you.
Well, guess what? That did not work in my instance, because the person in front of me was going faster than me. And the cop was like, well, you were last. I could catch you.
Oh.
So then you.
I'm like, that's rude. That.
Oh, no, I would fight that.
Yeah.
That was a long time ago.
But the other thing is typically by then I can see the cop. So I'll like, if you can spot them first, too, like you've got a little more time.
Alpharetta. That might be a special.
Yeah.
Adam's special case.
Yeah.
But no, my whole life, that's what my dad taught me, is if there's not a bird dog, don't do it.
Well, clearly it works.
So it works.
Yes. Right.
So yeah,
tell my son that. That would be helpful.
I should probably tell my girls that too, to be honest.
I told Alyssa this and I was like, listen, I know this sounds funny because Marcy Ferris says to me when Alyssa started driving, they're going to get into an accident. They're going to get a speeding ticket. It just happens. And I was like, accident? Yes. Speeding ticket? No. She's like, no, it happens. I was like, no, it doesn't. And I told Alyssa, I was like, you get a speeding ticket, I yank the car. You get into an accident, that's life. Yeah. And she's never had a speeding ticket. She's never been pulled over. So.
My son, who 3 accidents in his first 2 years driving, totaled the car. And then rolled through a stop sign with a cop behind him.
Oh, gosh. Oh, well, got pulled for not a hit and run. They said she was running from a cop. She was literally trying to find a road to pull down onto. And so she
took the question
at a dead end, a dirt road. And so she was going to turn around, and the cop said that she was trying to run. When she's had a super speeder, we've gotten dropped from our insurance. Like, she has to have specialty insurance.
We got dropped from ours, too.
I'm afraid I will if Patrick gets one. I said he's going to be on the kicking, though, if he gets one
or anything.
I go, there are no more cars.
No.
Yeah.
Scooters. From now on,
it'll be a scooter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, his friends.
You're going to Fred Flintstone it.
Uh-huh.
Or Uber.
He goes, yes, Uber. Ma'am. Okay. Because I'm the only one that pays for everything. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Sweet.
And that's one of those.
So that's how it goes.
So, yeah. So, see, we talked about everything. That's why I ran up in the cars. Like, and it ended up saving me a freaking fortune.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so how was it going down to Florida?
I know. Oh, back to the original.
Sorry, see?
Mm-hmm. Do you have to plug it in on the way down?
Yes, but there are Tesla superchargers all over the place. And what it does is the car maps you and maps out, okay, you need to stop at this supercharger station and charge X amount of time to get to the next one or to your destination. And then usually, because the superchargers are so fast, they can usually charge you from low, to all the way full to like 15, 20 minutes. I think the longest we set at a Tesla one was 22 minutes, but they're all set up. Like, there's a huge one at Bucky's. There's a huge one at the bigger gas stations or in front of coffee shops or wherever, because they want you to come in and do stuff just like the gas. So it really was really pretty easy. Much the same.
Yeah.
How much drive time does it add to the drive?
Realistically, not long, depending on the car we were taking. Alyssa's Caddy drinks gas like it's going out of style. In the Porsche, I could make it to Florida with like I needed to fill up right when we go. And on the side, I could make it on about a tank of gas. That was premium gas. And I'd have to fill all the way up. So by the time I filled up, even when gas prices are low, it's $80-$90.
Yeah.
Right.
So I would say from the Porsche, it probably adds 40 minutes. But if it's Alyssa's car, you're stopping for gas twice. Yeah. Twice. So maybe 10 minutes. And if you did get the longer, what are those ones called?
Long range. The long range. Yeah, long range dual motor.
You only have to stop once for like.
But that is not what y'all got.
No.
Okay.
No.
That is a little pricier, I'm assuming.
You know, the Plaids are the priciest. I don't, they're what, 150. They're high, super high. But they have four boxes. They're batteries. Four batteries. Like ours has two batteries.
It's not a boat, Andrea. It's not a
quad.
It's crazy. You got a trunk and a trunk.
Yep.
And then there's a lot of space. You don't drive trains. You don't brake pads are not a problem because your car auto, like your engine slows you down. It's wild. And I use the auto drive feature that I get chauffeur freaking everywhere. And on a day like this, when it's rainy, the car will come right to that front door and pick you up.
What?
This is really cool.
Like you tell it to come pull through.
How does it know where to pull to?
You tell it. You kind of drop a pen and you hit a button and it goes.
That is crazy.
So we were leaving a leadership meeting. It's raining.
No, that makes me nervous.
Oh yeah, I did.
And that it's going to take me somewhere I don't want to be.
Yeah.
No.
Well, that doesn't make me nervous. But just relying on
it's technology.
Well, yeah,
it can break.
It's got to be hard at first.
Okay. No, not at all.
No,
I know what's going on, and she's totally good at it.
It drove us all the way to Orlando and home. It makes it so much less stressful. Traffic's not a big deal anymore because it's the on. You got to think.
It's really, really smart.
You still got to pay attention, though.
You do, but here's the thing. Think about it this way. It has cameras wrapped the whole car. It can see way more than you can.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I was turning right. It was dark, and there was somebody in the crosswalk, and the car saw him, beeped at me, and slammed on the brakes. And it took me a second to even see him because they were dressed in all black. Car saw him.
Mine does have for a leaf on the ground.
Because
that's how I pushed it. And then it won't let me go again. I'm like, well... All right. We're here.
Here we are. We live here now. The little road.
That's hilarious.
So, yes, you can be twins with Rachel and I.
It's fine. So, did you get the same color?
No.
No.
Different colors.
I got white.
Probably a little more bright.
No. I don't know. Like the steel gray.
Oh. All right.
It's like her shirt, actually.
Yeah, it is. So, yeah.
Nice. My mom got a white one with white interior. It's gorgeous. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah, the white interior. I was nervous. So I got black interior.
Ew.
And you know, I changed out the wood grain. I hated that.
You did?
Yeah.
I love that. What do you not like? What did you change it to?
Carbon fiber.
Oh, that's pretty too. Yeah.
So I put carbon fiber in, and then I put like all these storage.
Yes, I got some
things. Yeah.
Those are cool.
And then I put in a sun visor.
It's not that particular.
I'd be like, sure.
That.
I got a new car last year, and it will like... Dry, like it'll stay within the lanes,
yeah.
The highway when you put on the and that even made
so I don't know.
So, what car did you get?
I know, what did you get?
I got the Genesis GV70.
We're twins.
Oh, I was gonna say, is that what?
Yeah, I love it. And I got mine in 2023 too.
That was my dream car that I wanted to have. Now, I wanted the 80 and it had ostrich leather seats. And like,
that sounds real nice.
And the guy told me the price, and I'm like, okay, bye-bye. Yeah.
I was trying to go smaller. I was finally ready to go smaller after driving three kids.
Which, the smaller one is great. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I love it. What color did you get?
I got white.
I got green.
But I know it's
my
you.
My last car was kind of what green. Green. Where are you?
Are you
okay?
I call her Hazel.
She's way out there.
I think I know what you're talking about because I have that.
Oh, I'm way out there. I'm way over in F4.
When I drive by.
Yeah.
I've got the Emery car tags.
I always know. It's me. Always know it's Jennifer.
Okay.
Because it's green. Nobody has green.
Yeah, it's green. Yeah. And then you have the Emery car tag. So when I was passing you on the street the other day, I'm like, I see you. And you're like, oh,
funny. Where
I'm
like,
what?
Where are you? Was it picking my nose? Like, was that, I'm pulling a chin hair out of the mirror? Like, what?
No, I get those cars in the house.
Always doing something. This is becoming me. I'm driving like this.
Oh my gosh. I do that. And I feel like a man because I'm doing that in the middle of something. I'm like, oh, don't do that.
I know.
Like, oh God.
Okay. So they can only hear us. They can't see us. So what are you two doing?
Rubbing our chin.
Yeah.
Because after menopause, things grow.
Every day there's a new hair.
You get a beard. Like I have a beard and a mustache.
It's not after menopause. It's just like.
Well, I had the mustache before menopause because I have dark hair.
Yeah, they just start
everywhere.
Migrating.
And I'm having it, saying those, go get it lasered. I've had it lasered like six different times. It doesn't go away. It just keeps coming back.
It's your friend.
It dries every night. I'm telling you, I wash my face.
I get tried. Now, I tried when I was younger. I had this hair growth, like a couple of things that were right here on my chest. And I was like, oh, that's unsightly. Mm-hmm. And it was like almost a magnetic, it wasn't a laser.
Oh,
it was. Yeah. And it got rid of it. And everything got still to this day. But I tried that. She's down the street near South Forsyth High School. But it's not working for the chins.
It doesn't work for mine at all. And they kept saying, just keep
electromagnetic back, something.
It'll go away. Never wear away. Mm. I mean, maybe it's way better.
She told me not to tweeze them. That makes it come back more.
Oh.
Well,
I'm like, what are you going to do?
It's too bad. So sad.
Yeah. Like, what's the other option?
Damn it.
A blast.
Then it comes back.
Yeah.
It does. Yeah. Well, I don't know what to do. I was going to try lasers or so. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. Mine didn't work. They work for me. But.
No,
anyway, it just basically,
and it's blonde, so it has to be in the right light for me to,
yeah, to see it.
But if you can feel it, though, it just bothers me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think people can see it.
Olivia told me that the other day. She goes, "Mom, you needed to shave your under here." I go, "What?" She goes, "You have like some hairs right in here." I go, "How do you see those?" She goes, "A light shining on them." I was like, "Good God, do I have those, y'all?" You
see? I don't see it. Listen, my eyes are bad, so
the bonus. You know what? Humans,
people our age, yeah, the guys, yeah, start like to go too. So the close up, not as good. Right, I'm like, thank you, Jesus.
She said, "I need this for that."
Kids are the worst. They're so mean about stuff.
They are.
I don't mean that bad. I mean, it sounded really bad, but
oh no,
they're mean.
They're absolutely terrorists. That's what I call all children. Terrorists. They are.
They're very. Oh, my son is not that mean. He'll say, "Mom, I think." I'll be very polite about it. My daughter will be like, "Oh my God, Mom," and screaming across the room.
I know.
Okay, then.
You're like, thank you. Duly noted.
Oh, such a
joggle. Yeah, I've got like one random with, like,
oh, I'll leave
there. What the bar?
We're just like, I don't
know. Now the whole, what could take so long in the morning because I have to inspect it all?
Yes.
I need to make sure, I need to buy a really, really good.
No, you know, those are the worst things that you kind of,
I love an option when I go,
I can't do this without it because I can't see.
No, it's just so neat. And the hotels, and I go,
yeah, they are.
I can't see even though it's so done.
They are pretty important.
Yeah, look, of course. Oh,
it's true. It's
kind of brutal.
I got light in there too, isn't that great?
I have a little bit of a, I love the TikTok drop, and so I got the nose pore suction gun.
Does that work?
That freaking works.
I wondered if that
works.
That's like the hydrotherapy drug.
They
suck it out, and then does it have like a container or on the thing? It has a container, and it can see all the stuff.
Oh, yeah, and it has a camera built in, and then it connects to your phone so you can see as you're going.
That way.
It is fantastic.
Sounds like gross, really, but I can't look away.
Yeah. It's like popping
it. It is. It's the same kind of
watching it on the
And
you're like, that's so what?
But I can't not watch it. Yeah. So that, and then I was also really excited about my other ridiculous purchase off of the TikTok shop, which are the 4-inch chainsaw.
What is the
world? And what would you
4-inch chips like this?
What do you do with a chainsaw? Period.
Oh,
that extra inch means a lot.
I was like, don't take the inch of my Okay, so I have. Okay, so Dominique Reeves, good friend of mine, and she's always outside feeding the deer, right? And I'm always like, I don't want the deer. We have them in our backyard, but I want them to like come up to the house, and they do at night. So I put up a deer feeder. So I'm all excited because I got the deer feeder. They only come through the night, so I don't even know they're there. So then, poor Seth, I made him get me a camera that connects to the security system that's wireless outside so that I can record the deer. Then there's like branches that activate the camera, and I'm like, I'm not going out there with like those stupid things because I'll be out there all year like trying to chop through like a 1-inch thing. So I bought this little chainsaw, and I have been out in my backyard.
This we up.
With this miniature chainsaw, like hacking down stuff. My neighbors have got to think I'm the biggest.
We need a picture of that. You need to have Seth. Seth, you need to take pictures of her doing
that outside with the chainsaw.
Yes.
That would be hilarious.
I love my
chainsaw. Like, how little is it? Is it like this big
total? Yeah, it's like that big total.
Wow.
And you just push a little button. You know what it is? Is it's like almost like those brush trimmer things, like an electric one. But this is just light and handheld, and it's battery operated. No, seriously, it actually, like, for trimming up that stuff. No, but
I'm not doing anything outside.
And now I can see my deer.
Yeah.
Cool.
Everybody thinks of the TikTok shop. I've always been nervous.
Like, what about Temu or Shein? Do y'all buy stuff from there?
I don't.
I've never bought anything from Temu.
I just bought my first thing.
What did you get?
It's those. Have you seen those gold candles that you do the oil in the bottom and they light and they're just like the metal? It's just like metal.
No, what is that?
And it sucks up the oil and then you light them. They're very pretty candles. I saw them that they're like the everlasting candle. They look like the everlasting candle. Don't know what that is.
Anyway, I haven't gotten them yet. So we'll see.
How long has it taken?
It's probably been a week.
I don't know
and they ship everything.
But see that like Shein, I think you can't return anything. But it's like $3, $8. I mean, it's all you get like 400 things and you pay $50.
Yeah.
So
my kids used to buy from there.
But I heard that they use like child labor and it's very not good. So I don't know.
And I don't think
I know for sure. It was out of China. I don't know about Temu.
Well, didn't one of them get banned?
One of them.
I thought it was Shein, but I don't know. Temu is fairly new in the last year or so.
And Shein is just clothing versus Temu is like Amazon.
I think Shein has clothes, shoes.
Oh, do they?
It's women's though. I think it's all women's. It's just clothes, shoes, and accessories. So, I mean, and it looks cute, but you have no idea what it's going to be like. Is it going to fit?
Is it going to fall apart after one?
Like their sizing is different too. Like I would need an extra, extra large because.
So then what you're saying is that the rest of us can't wear clothes for
me. I don't know.
Well, most of them are like teenage. Like,
it's girls. I think it's more teenage girls. So yeah.
Got it. No boots, no butt.
Yeah.
Yeah. They can look good in anything.
Pretty much.
Versus us, which should be picky.
Yeah. I'm like, why are all the sweaters like crop tops? Like, where are the adult people stuff?
I know. You have to wear, but even in, like, something under it.
Yeah.
Where was I?
Oh, yeah.
Avalon, what's that one store? I thought it was like a women's store. All these teenagers are in there shopping, and I'm like, well, y'all like this? Like, this seems more adult, but the sweaters are all crap.
So I was so pissed because I bought that KW shirt that I love, that sweatshirt. It was pretty. It was this beautiful purple sweatshirt at Mega Camp.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I showed it to you.
I saw that.
Yeah. It was such a triple purple. And I just grabbed it and bought it because I know for the KW like brands, like what size. I wear and I grabbed it and I bought it and I got home. I was like,
is this a crop?
Yeah.
I must have gotten it from a different. Oh, it was a crop though.
Yeah, it was a crop. So it fit, but it was like whatever. And I was like, Renee, I got you a sweatshirt. Because
you just wear a long shirt under it.
Yeah.
That's too much.
And that's all the rage today, too.
Yeah. Too much. Mm-hmm. I just want a crop sweatshirt to be down with light. I do not want to have to make sure that all the things
are covered up.
Covered. It's just. I was like, you're lunch. Like, how about?
Yeah.
She looks cute in it.
I know, right? Yeah. She could probably wear the crop top anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I want her.
She's tiny.
It was so frustrating. She's like, oh, this is a purple. And I
think she loves purple. So that's been.
Yeah.
Very true.
So, yeah, because it was like still my cup over there. It was the same color as my cup.
I need a new purse person because my purse person got arrested. For selling counterfeit purses.
No.
She was my past client. I didn't know you could get arrested for that.
Yes.
They don't arrest the people in the mall. They don't have a license to sell Louis Vuitton.
No. But they have to be like, there's all these things about the way the brand looks. You have to be able to, like, it's usually not
distinguished.
Yeah, it would probably be like LW if it's in the mall.
I mean, it was a good fake. Nobody knew mine was fake. The purse I have today, I got from her. It's LV.
But that's why she got a leather.
Yeah.
It came from Hong Kong, I think.
I was going to say, so
this took forever.
It's a different phrase. Both have connections in China. And they have both told me, if you just take a picture of what you're looking for, when they go back to China, they will get it. And they're like, I guarantee you, you are not going to.
Who said that?
Two friends of mine.
Oh.
For friends that both go to China to buy.
Do share when they're going back. I'll love you some
pictures. Yes, send me pictures and I'm going to send them pictures.
Don't sit on the podcast.
Delete.
Because you can actually get arrested for buying.
Oh.
You can? Oh, wait, make sure you delete.
No, Forsyth County raided her house. They came in, SWAT. Like,
yep.
Really? Oh, yeah. I'm like, there's not better things to go after.
Well, because the fraud on that stuff is
so bad
for the real companies.
Yeah. And so the real companies have been pressing hard to get all of that off. And like, there's this one TikTok person I follow called Love Luxury, and they're out of London and Dubai, and they will not tell you, like, they'll show you a fake and you're like, holy crap. Like, and it's Birkin or Kelly's. I mean, they're beautiful purses and you can't tell they're fakes. And they're like, we will not tell you because there's only three small things that were wrong and we don't want to educate them. But make sure if you think, because the people, they had been brought in to be sold, and it had been somebody who bought them thinking it was real.
Oh,
so the person paid like $15,000 to $18,000 for this purse, and they were like, "It's a fake."
Yeah.
Wow.
I won't buy anything from anything that's not a store.
Yeah.
Or you know.
Yeah. Just
now, if you want the real thing, you go to the store.
Yeah, you just got to suck it up and do it.
Go to the store, or you can buy it off their website. I mean,
a lot of people
buy it off their website.
And a lot of people, though, try to get it secondhand. You don't know if those are real.
I mean, you're totally taking a chance.
You don't know. Yeah. Because I'm like, how do you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
No, I bought a pair of some my Jimmy Choo sunglasses with the sparkles on the sides. I got those at Target.com.
I remember.
Yeah. I ran around to the room like, get it. Because
I got my Tiffany's from there. I think.
Yes. Because what happens is, and this is legal. Yes. Let me rephrase. I'm not involved in it, and it's Target.com. It's like actually Target, so, you know. But what it is they do these pop-up shops selling through Target, and I don't know how the seller is getting hold of them, but they're usually half of what even, like, a glasses store would be.
Wow, that's for that.
So, clearly, they're coming, whatever, but they're real.
Yeah.
And so, those Jimmy Choo's. How much did you pay for your Tiffany's? They weren't bad.
$100.
I know. I was going to say, I got paid like, $200 for the Jimmy Choo's, and they were $550 or $600 if you buy them new.
Wow. That's not bad.
No, so check Target.com if you need luxury sunglasses. It's not coming from Target.
It's just their pop-up shop there.
I can't do those anymore. My Tiffany's, I can't even wear because prescription, they wouldn't change them to prescription because it has a thing right here in the corner of the lens. So, yeah, I'm not. I will wear them like when I'm somewhere and not driving or don't need to see very well. But I'm like, I love those.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Yeah, but the blue.
All right. So let's
talk about
market.
Okay. Well, don't have to.
It's a wild ride there, you know.
It's been, yes, a huge adjustment on both sides, I feel like.
Yeah. So I talked about this a little bit. I was one with my coaches, and there's five things that everybody wants, all consumers in real estate wants.
Mm-hmm.
And in the best of times, they can get 3 out of 5. When things are really, really difficult, they can only get 2 out of 5. But the irony is, most people think when it's good is when it's like crazy. But in reality, that's actually when it's harder to control.
Right. It's not the best investment when it's crazy.
Right. So everybody wants, number one, to buy low.
Mm-hmm.
They want to sell high. Low interest rate.
Great.
Control all the terms, so contingencies, all that. And then they want perfect conditions for the buyers. And so, like never beginning with gangbusters, yeah, you can sell a lie, but, and then you control the terms. But that was it.
As a seller, is that what you mean?
Yeah, on the sell side. And on the buy side, you sure as heck can control the terms.
They couldn't control the condition.
They could control the condition. And they were buying high.
Right.
So they only got two.
They got a low interest rate.
But they got great rates.
They got great rates. So they had two of the five. Whereas the seller on that side probably could, you could argue 3 of the 5. Mm-hmm. But right now is when the buyer can get 3 of the 5.
Right. Yeah.
Because they can buy low, control terms, and get much better condition.
Thank you. So like a lot of the buyers are coming in super low, like they feel like I can offer so low right now, and that hasn't adjusted to well, not quite that low. And the sellers haven't adjusted to I can't quite get as much as I wanted to get. We haven't come to the happy medium.
No,
I don't think yet.
No. Agreed.
No. That takes several
because it's still. I've gotten a few offers on listings, and sellers are so offended because it's 40 grand, 50 grand low. And I'm like, I get it. Let's just counter. I can't even get them to counter.
Yeah. So I'm seeing that with my buyers. I mean, my buyers are still, okay, with my buyers, they're still going up against multiple offers. Still.
It's because your people are going after, like, so if we're still seeing multiple offers, if something comes on the market, so we have
good.
It's updated condition and, so nice. And priced correctly.
Yeah. Okay.
And
it's gonna go. And again.
Mm-hmm. And then it's gone like this. So it's literally like either the seller is listening and they're coming out of the gate correct and they actually want to sell. So we've got the same, like, do you have a seller or a trier? Mm-hmm. We have a lot of triers in the market because we have a 20% more inventory.
Okay.
With like only a third of the demand that was at the height of 2021, 2022. So everybody's like, well, there's more inventory. Sure, but it's sellers that are throwing it out there on the market to see what's going to hit and then nothing. So then they sit. But if a seller actually is a seller,
it's gone.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. There's a huge difference between both.
And it's still hard and low. It's still low inventory for those buyers that are looking for specific houses that are in great condition and have specific things in mind. Updated. So when it does come out, you're right. You're like,
they're all
gotta go see this now. And mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah.
The ones that need paint or need some updating are sitting.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, market change and sellers don't want to update ahead of time. Perception got spoiled and
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a price war and a beauty contest and you gotta win both or else you're not selling.
Right.
So the other thing we talked about with my coach, this is really interesting, is three factors of a stable market area where your market is going to see the least amount of peaks and valleys. And I was like, huh, okay. So in my head, I'm like, all right, so, you know, you've got like Panhandle in Florida. Like, they get a hurricane, get knocked out.
That picture of housing market be part,
right, for quite some time. You've got tourist locations or like Washington State during the pandemic, tons of people ran out there, bought houses in the middle of nowhere, now are selling them because they have to go back to work.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really interesting because they said the three factors, like, so as a buyer or seller, when you look at this, this is like how to get the most stability and that pretty level 4% year over year appreciation rate that is more stable. So low or median average sales price in this market around 350, which Atlanta's median has been hovering around 4, so it's not terribly off. Number two, urban or semi-urban, so you can't be out in the middle of
nowhere.
And safe from long-term weather events.
Yeah.
Well, we thought we were.
Right.
Now, we did not get as hard as we thought, but.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to say is what's interesting about that. It's not that I would have argued that Asheville, I mean, I do think that they were more tourist-driven market. But, I mean, I would never have thought that they were going to get completely
devastated, wiped out.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah.
So, yeah, because...
Well, we have all three of these factors. Like, if you look at Metro Atlanta, where we are here, and then you look at Fulton County, so Roswell, Alpharetta, Cumming, East Cobb, Johns Creek. We have those three.
Yes.
And even in the last recession in 08, 09, when we were further out, we felt it versus like friends of mine in the perimeter, they didn't feel it hardly at all. East Cobb's never felt it. If you go back to East Cobb numbers, they're just they're steady, stable, no issues. But the further out you get, like Dawson County, Cherokee County, Pickens, you go up 85. Like the further, the more rural you get, the more volatile you are for sure.
Yeah.
But I think like us, for where we are, we have this. We have all three. And that's why we've seen when Gwinnett County last year didn't see, they increased less than 1% year over year. And Forsyth County increased 4.2%. We're in like a great bubble for that.
Uh-huh.
And we'll continue to like it's a safe investment.
Right. And buyers, you need to understand that they're going to pay a little more up front for that safety.
Right.
And there's probably less appraisal problems, I would guess.
Yeah, I haven't been seeing any.
Yeah. Which is good. Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, because usually that's a big part of the
job.
Yeah. When it shifts, is that appraisal?
Right. When they first started really heading up, and then now that they're settling out.
It's good. Coming downside usually is not as bad on the appraisal.
Yeah.
I had an aha moment with this when you were just talking about this. These are the things that when we're having a consult with our buyers or our sellers, are what are the ones that are most important to them out of the five? Like, what are the, you're not going to get all five. So out of the five, which are the top three that make sense? And that's how you help them create the urgency or self-discover if the urgency is now versus later. And I didn't have that aha until I heard you just telling them that.
Jeff Glover.
This
yeah. Jeff Glover actually has a list of things. And I think there's like 10 things. And he presents it at a buyer consult and says, if you're not willing to pick two of these 10 things as things that you're willing to concede on in order to get your offer accepted, then you're not a good buying position.
That's perfect. Yeah.
So he does the same. He's got one on the selling side too.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was a neat idea.
Right. Yeah. I mean, we could take those 10.
And the same five, when the market was crazy, right?
Right.
Be able to waive an appraisal contingency or waive the inspection contingency or offer more than list price. And, you know, he had all the lists. Are you willing to do two of these things?
Yeah.
If not, your offer is not going to be accepted.
Yeah. And this is not the market.
Well,
yeah. Hey, that's great.
Well, I think that the other thing is that, like, it's just understanding. And I've said this way, and I finally feel like this articulates it so much better, is that the market's always even.
Yes.
You can't sell high and buy low in the same market. And then if you're trying to do that, you become a speculator and ask Zillow, Open Door, and all of them how well that worked out for them.
I know people that sold, you know, and then sat there thinking the prices will come down. They sold high, sat there thinking the prices will come down, and then the interest rates went up, prices didn't come down.
Yeah.
Doubling.
Yeah. And their cash doesn't go as far.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So you lost buying power.
Yeah. They've jumped out of the market. Mm-hmm. Like, never get out of the market. Once you get into the market,
mm-hmm.
owning a home, stay there.
Mm-hmm.
But don't ever pull yourself back out and go into a rental.
Yeah.
You just pulled yourself out.
Yeah. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you've just lost out on the appreciation while you've been renting again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because even if you, like, let's say that the market did crash,
forget these seagulls.
It's so low, but then you buy low. Like, the market is the market.
Mm-hmm.
And again, home owners, even investors, typically not speculators. They're not trying to time something.
Mm-hmm.
Like, now, a lot of investors could have sold when the market was so high, right? I mean, that would have been great as far as timing.
Yes.
So
if they were ready to get out, right? But you have all those taxes, you've got to be able to do that. So,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, the fascinating thing is that 9 out of the last 11 elections, regardless of who is in office, interest rates come down and the number of units sold goes up. So I'm like, buyers have this slot in time where you've got some more inventory, you've got some negotiation power, you can control the terms a lot better.
Mm-hmm.
This is not going to last forever. No market does.
Mm-hmm. And that has been our message to all of our clients, is every time we're talking to anybody, right now is that moment in time that it's a sweet spot for a buyer.
Yes.
And that sweet spot is going to go away. And it'll go away probably last year. The sweet spot was January, early February. It was gone by the time we got back from Paint Marine.
It was.
And so anybody that was looking like that December, January timeframe, there was like this sweet moment of negotiations because there was hardly anybody out there looking.
Yeah.
Oh, for buyers.
Yeah. Yeah. Buyers. So that has been our message 100% to all of our clients, is if you want to get in right now, is a great moment in time to do so.
Yeah. And that it's worth it. Regardless of the interest rate, A, you can refi, but B, because you can't stop the house from appreciating, and prices are not going backwards. They're not going to. It's not going to change. Houses are not. And that's,
I think people feel like prices went backwards right now because we over appreciated.
Yeah,
they didn't necessarily go backwards.
Right.
But if you look at the long term
great
appreciation, but people feel like that.
Yeah.
Well, Zillow said I was worth $500,000. Now it's $475,000.
Well, that's because the buyers artificially inflated the home values. And the further away we get from that old market we were in, the more level that's going to be. And that's going to be some of those readjustments because that was artificially inflated.
Yeah. Are y'all having people, like, I hear more and more people having to be pulled back into the office that during the pandemic had moved far out,
no,
or, you know, moved wherever they wanted to because they were all working from home. And now a lot of the employers are pulling them back in. And so I've heard of a few people having to move now just because of the commute.
Yeah.
I have heard that. And then some people are like, well, we've put in our notice because now we're in a different state and
I'm not going to do it.
So I'll find a different job.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
The irony was what Zoom was requiring, like 80% of their employees back at the office.
Or were they?
Yeah. I was like, that was hilarious.
It was Zoom.
Your Zoom. Like,
because they're more productive. Everybody's more productive than staying at home in their jeans. You know?
I know I am.
Yeah.
I mean,
or what were they doing? They were like, you know, go get their hair done in the middle of the day. If they have brunch with somebody and they're supposed to be working.
Yeah.
They put their camera on off, you know, and their mute button.
Yeah.
Go off and leave.
Yeah. Do whatever.
Yeah. Yeah. So just take advantage.
I know. No, I can't. Like, and I like the division. Like, when I go home, I'm home. And then when I'm here, I'm here. Not that you don't end up working at home, but it's not the same.
It's not. It's the same as DCR.
Yeah.
It's not the I have distractions. Oh, it's got the word. Oh, it's got.
Yes.
Got the dishes. Oh my gosh. I'm like, just leave.
Yes.
I have to leave.
My dog's just barking. You're dropping nuts. Yeah, I'm that way too. Because I'm like, y'all shut up.
Yes.
Stop barking. It's just the Amazon guy.
I don't want to tell you. Lindsay used to not bark at anybody that came to the door, and all of a sudden, now she's started.
Was she around something that barked? Was it my dogs?
Uh-oh. Because they do learn that.
Yeah, they do.
Do they really?
Yes. Because Savannah. It's your fault. It's Corinne's fault. Well, actually, it's Matthew's fault.
Because her dog's taught.
Yeah, so Matthew's dog, they kept Savannah one time, and she used to bark at the door all the time. And then she came home, and she's barking. I was like, no.
So she learned
it from Corinne's dog.
Oh.
Yeah. So it 100% could have been my dog. Mm-hmm. I apologize.
But it happens.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
That's how she is.
Until I have her dog sit again.
Well, we put those little vibrator collars on them.
Does that help yours?
Yeah, they stop. Because they're little. So even that little vibrator, because it doesn't shock. It just...
That's what I need. I'm buying some of those.
Yeah.
They're good. They're on Amazon.
Yeah.
I'm
like, yeah.
Dog mom shocking the dog.
Not shocking. They just vibrate.
It's not a shock.
It vibrates. It just goes like, it's like,
yeah. Well, up there.
It doesn't shock. Like, it doesn't even have metal prongs. It's
actually
plastic.
Okay.
And it literally just vibrates.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. You're like, I'll
shock my dog.
Touch you. I'm just kidding.
When we had a Alaska Malamute. And a husky, yes, we shot
from big dogs. But
The 4-pound Yorkie, that would be like, she'd be like a little lake mop. That would not be good. That would be bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Bad.
So do we have an estimated, do we think I know the Fed said, well, we probably are not lowering the rates again or as much as we anticipated next year, yada, yada.
So interest rates probably won't come down as much as anticipated.
Well, it was wonky. The market, they dropped the interest rate.
I know it doesn't directly correlate. Like, a lot of numbers go into whether interest rates come down or not. However, I know a lot of people right now are thinking, oh, spring market, right? And I'm like, look, inventory is increasing.
Yeah.
And when we go into that spring market and you've still got even more competition, you may get less money than you would today. So that's what I've got an off-market listing right now that I'm showing. She signed to show unlisted property.
Yep.
And I've been showing it to several people who come in on my listing. and we went under contract on the one in the same neighborhood. She's like, oh, should I list now then? I'm like,
yeah, sure. Good.
But I always tell people, though, and I don't know how y'all feel about that, decorating for the holidays. Like, if you're going to sell your house, you can't really decorate a whole lot for the holidays or at all.
I would say you can. Okay. So my theory has always been that same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually just did a video on this. I would not do photos and capture it, right? Because then it dates the photos.
Right.
But you can have decorations after photography's done and they come in. Because it actually, studies show that it gives people more of a warm feel, like okay. Almost like a nostalgic, like, ooh, this feels good. I could see that here. You know what I mean? Like it gives them this, almost like when you go into just a decorated home for the holidays, like you just feel good. And so it gives us.
What about, and I'm not asking you one way or another, genuinely, this is a, like, what about when you have a very diverse demographic?
Then that might be a little bit different, right? Like if you're here in our county, so let's just say that here in our county, we do have some diversity. So if that house, the majority of the buyer that's going to be chosen for that house has that type of demographic where that might not work so well, then that would probably counsel my client on let's not do that.
Yeah. But it's a genuine question. Yeah. Like, because that is a hyper local.
It is. Because if so, if like, like if you're north of the county or you're somewhere, you know that demographic or the buyer is going to be okay with that, and that's what.
Yeah.
But I would never date the photos and decorate it all out for holidays and then do the photos.
Oh,
yeah. It's kind of how.
I don't think she's going to be ready before the holidays anyway. She's got a lot of packing up to do. There's a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She's got homework.
She does.
Yeah, so.
But I think it's right now, like I've been watching, so I've got several clients that I have met with over the last few weeks. They're like, I'm not sure if right now is the time or later. And so I've literally been pacing the market for them every Monday as if they are a client. And I've got one specifically that I sent them a text over the weekend. I said, I think we're going to be pacing before February. Like you guys need to be ready soon because I feel like we're about to hit a sweet spot. But what was the goal with that? As you said. Oh, so anyway, so based off of what I've been noticing, I feel like we're about to have a sweet spot for people that we didn't think we were going to have.
For sellers. Okay.
Yeah. Based off of what I'm seeing trend-wise, and then even just with my clients, us going out looking at property, homes that have been sitting for 50 days, all of a sudden have a game offer.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? So I think
I have one in binder. Yeah. We've had three showings in like 40 days. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah,
we did get one offer. And we were 5 grand apart. Couldn't get either side to budge. Then they all of a sudden wanted to budge. The buyer took a second look and then was like, meh.
Yeah.
Oh,
I hate that.
Even though they don't have anything else they want to buy. Like, why? Why did you wanted to buy it, but
And did you have the conversation? Do we know how much $5,000 is going to cost you every month in your payment?
Oh, like, my gosh, yes. And I'm like, $5,000 in closing costs. I'm like, I can get $2,500 from my lender. Nope, they won't go. I think it was more agent driven because she was very newish. And she just kept saying, well, you know how buyers are. You know how buyers are.
I'm always like, educate them.
Please talk to them.
You need to explain it.
Yes, your job is to facilitate and educate.
But I can't do it for her. And she wouldn't do it. So I think it was more her.
I've had that.
Because they have a house they're going to sell. And I'm like, well, good luck with that process. Because when they go on the market, guess what they're going to get?
The same.
Yes. So.
And they're going to be ticked that they're not getting the outcome and you've advised them poorly.
Mm-hmm. So my people are frustrated. Now they want to come off the market.
Don't do it. Don't let them come.
We talked last night. We're staying for now. But
yeah.
She has high anxiety. I talked to her multiple times about. And so it's very stressful to do this and not have, know what the end is going to be or know she's going to be able to move. So
it's stressful.
And the other house is in Tucker, 30 showings, 0 offers.
Yeah.
Like, I don't get it overpriced.
I've been trying to tell her she's like, no, they're 400,000, but it's a steep driveway. Not updated, but did all the exterior, like wood rot, painting, interior painting, the carpet, but not updated kitchen. Yeah. So, but we priced fairly accordingly to that. But the driveway, I think, is the bigger issue. So people don't have made an offer, right? And she's like, no, we should go to 415.
Oh, no.
I'm like, please explain how, because they talked to the neighbor and the neighbor's like, you're too low. That's the problem.
I've had that report too. Tell that neighbor, go.
I would like to, but they're good friends.
Ask him how many homes has the neighbor sold.
He sold a home last year, mommy's, and it sold for well above list price. I'm like, that was last year's market. That is not this year's market. And it was a different area.
And how many homes has he sold in this current market as a professional?
Fascinating. So she's on my list to have a conversation with today. So
what if you painted the cabinets and stuff?
We did paint the cabinets.
What about
painted in white? New hardware. The countertops are...
Can you get on like the... You know, you can have the bathrooms, like the tub, like...
resurfaced.
Yeah.
Get one of
the... The tub isn't bad.
I mean for the counters. Like, because you can do something...
Let's resurface the countertops. Just something...
It's laminate.
Yeah. So, yeah. Like, you can get...
Well, you can epoxy them. You can do that... What is it called? Hypoxy?
Yeah.
It, like, makes it look like it's marbly granite.
Or
it's just paint.
Concrete. You can do... There's all kinds of, like, cheap stuff you can do that... Makes it look.
It would need a tile backsplash too.
That's not expensive.
Or can you talk to one of our vendors?
Yes.
We'll remodel the kitchen and then get paid
at closing.
We have a couple of.
We do.
We're going to. That's what we're talking about today.
Yeah.
Doing a kitchen remodel. But it would still be, I feel like, at the same price because it's driveway. I think it's a driveway that's really driving it. It is literally.
But if people like fall in love with the interior stuff now, like it really is.
I'm sorry, we did get one offer on that house and with the driveway, but it was 41 grand.
Oh, wow.
Because the driveway and the kitchen and the bathrooms and this and all this stuff that he would change and landscaping he didn't like. And I'm like, you just totally shot your chance down for even getting it. And that's why she wouldn't counter. He told her everything that was wrong with the house.
No.
And she was like,
liked it the way, yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Not a way to get it.
Mm-mm.
But why would the agent's the one that typed it all up?
And sent it with all the reasons?
Yes.
So, yeah, let's discuss agents. They are not all.
Not a lot of bad ones.
Yeah, like they're not all created equal. And it's like, okay, if you were interviewing an agent, what questions would you ask? You see a lot of agents. What questions would you ask, Tony? Like, so how would you know if you're going to hire a good agent?
Okay, so I'll go back to like a long time ago before I would have known what to ask.
Right.
But now, well, I guess if I don't even know.
But you know who's good and who's not. So what would you?
But I don't know how.
But you already know based on.
To like what a home buyer should ask an agent. But I mean, experience, comps. You know,
would you base it on how they, when they, the presentation, when they're there, how professional they look?
Yeah, and now you can Google everybody, get reviews, and now we definitely do some research. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're right. There are a lot of bad ones out there.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. This doesn't happen. Especially people that have their house listed and maybe don't have any idea.
I have no idea.
That their agent is out.
Or the photos that people took on their phone.
Or no, like now even the professional photographers, the agent's paying, but the photography is still crap. Because it's some kid with a camera that's like, I do professional photos, and they throw it in a Lightroom and click auto, and that's what you get. And it's like blown out, coloring is bad, and it's bad.
Yesterday, I pulled it up, it's in Dawsonville.
Yeah.
I was like, what in the world? It almost looked like it was... airbrush painted, like
yes,
very muted but bright. It was the most bizarre thing I've ever seen.
Photography.
I was like, this is weird.
And it's bad.
Yeah. Really
bad.
That would be a good topic for a whole show about like how educating home buyers on and sellers on what to ask an agent. So you know, two houses ago that I sold, I didn't know until after we sold the house that. There were several agents, but I was saying I just hadn't called them back. They were interested in the house. the listing agent just hadn't done their job. So we could have had other offers or,
yeah.
Who knows?
What could have happened?
Yeah, I don't know. I wish that people would ask how, and I don't know how to appropriately put this question if I was like a seller to ask the agent, but there's two different ways of negotiating. So if Jennifer and I were negotiating together, we could either work together because we have an interested buyer, an interested seller. Let's make the deal work. How can we figure this out? Or we could be completely combative and go, well, that's my seller. I'm going to get the best deal I can. And you're the best. She's representing. And then you butt heads. Mm-hmm. So there's agents out there that just will, they won't budge on. It's their own thought process versus even asking their seller. Right. And it's like, okay, they might get offended by an offer. Well, we have to present all offers. It doesn't matter if it comes in on a paper napkin or a telephone call. We have to still give that right to our seller to respond to that. We can give them counsel, right? But she could just be like, no, that's ridiculous. I'm not even, I talked to my seller. My seller said no, right? And like instantly you hit a wall. Instead of going, okay, let's figure out how together I've got a buyer, you've got a seller. Let's figure out how we make this work. And there's a big stark difference when you come across an agent like that, because most of the time you can get the deal done versus agents that are combative. And I don't know how to say, and you probably have experienced that where you're like, oh my God, this agent, just like the one.
Fights you the whole way.
That fights you the whole way down. And you're like, dude, we're on the same facilitate
a transaction that both parties want to complete.
Yeah. Like, let's just get this done.
So it doesn't matter.
Let's try to make it work.
It's, you know what that it is? It's like, if they decide what the goal is, meaning like I've decided that if the goal is that for the buyer has to be for the lowest price. Well, the buyer might be saying, no, I just want this house. Get a hold of this house. Or I need to move in fast, so I'll pay a little extra to get the seller to get out, right? What is the goal of the buyer or seller? And then on the flip side, on the seller side, it's not the agent's job to get the most money for the house. It's to get the house sold at the terms that the seller is willing to accept. So people make decisions for other people that they have no business doing. And they're not facilitating a sale.
Yeah. It's super frustrating. So I don't know how you articulate that into like a question.
I have no idea. And I don't know that a seller would come up with that.
They never
would. Or a buyer.
Yeah, they never would. And that's
especially not a first-time buyer.
Yeah.
Honestly, if you wanted my opinion on how you would find out who the best agents are, call a managing broker and ask who they'd hire.
That's a great question. Yeah,
that's a good point.
They definitely would tell you.
I would give you a list of who I would hire. Mm-hmm.
Or if you ask about a person and they have nothing to really say about the person, that says a lot.
Yes. That's true.
Saying nothing says a lot.
Yeah.
Saying nothing says a lot. And to that point, I mean, that's actually a great thing that just like aha in my head is like, okay, we need to be telling agent, put that in, like if your managing broker would recommend you, that should be a huge like endorsement. Mm-hmm. And say, you know, ask anybody else you're interviewing, would their broker endorse them?
Yeah.
That, because we get the irate calls, we get the people who are pissed, and we know how y'all handle that up front, and then we know how people handle it on the back end.
Sure.
Yeah, that's a good.
And maybe it's, how do you handle conflict? Yeah. How do you handle that with another agent?
Mm-hmm. That's so good.
And those are questions.
How often do you return phone calls? Right.
What's your system for follow-up with
agents that call and have questions or that, you know, how do we show the house? How do we make sure we know this or people are getting in when they want to get in?
No, those are good questions. And it's different than I think people are like, what's the marketing plan? Which is important because, yes, don't tell me that you're having professional photos and I, like, right, like that drives me off the deep end. Yeah. But in all seriousness, those are the things, like the really hard part of this job is once it goes, like you get from offer to close.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
People have no idea that that's 90%.
Yeah. But it is a lot. Watching. Yeah.
I mean, how many deadlines are y'all tracking on that? I mean, give a ton.
Back to all of them now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be, it was like, nope, we're done.
No contingency.
They signed. We're done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, not done, but I mean, some people just don't go, right? But
right. We have an agent right now that had a closing at 9 a.m. this morning. $1.4 million deal. And the agent fought her the entire time to do house was vacant and to do their inspections, to do like follow up. They had to reinspect. And the agent's like, no, I sent you receipts. Right. But the inspector is saying that that wasn't fixed. Yeah. But I sent you your receipt. So it doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah. What? And I know who you're talking about. Uh-huh. How did it end up? So, oh, keep telling me.
No. So she, no, that was good. So what happened is the agent was like, no, I'll meet you over there and I'm going to go through the whole house with you, like agent to agent, to show you the repairs of that. And our agent goes, I was like, don't do that. Like, because you.
It's a waste of time.
Well, and we're not inspectors.
Right? Yeah. How are you going to know?
Right? Like, and so the inspector said it was not done correctly. That's the only thing we can go off of. And so the other agent goes, well, we're not extending closing for you. No, it's not for us. It's.
Would be for you.
It would be for you.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering.
Exactly.
Because you didn't meet the terms.
And they were like, well, no, you're insisting that the repairs are not done properly. That's on you.
Well,
no. So anyways, so I said, no, I said, don't show. None of you don't
close. I just didn't close.
I said, don't close. Anyways, guess what? All of a sudden, their handyman was there last night. Making those repairs correct. And it went to closing.
Good. Yeah. But the agent was trying to just
strong arm.
Well, yes. Bully. Yeah. And she's like, why well,
around?
Here you go. Here's
right. And you normally would just.
So my response to something like that is like, well, no, I am so sorry that your seller was swindled. She was the one who oversaw the entire dating. Well,
he's the broker. Oh, I don't know who that is.
Yes, you do. You're thinking of the right person. She just opened the brokerage like
a month and a half ago. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are always things
too.
I like to be blissfully unaware.
Yeah.
As I run into people, I don't even know.
Yeah. And the other thing is anytime somebody starts out with, well, I have 22 years of experience and I've never done it that way. And you're like, that just means that you've sold one house 22 times and that you don't actually have experience. And that's why we're having this conversation. Those are always fun.
There is a lot of that.
Baby.
I know. Cool.
Yeah.
That's it. We're done.